Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. I am recording this in my very sunny office on a Monday morning in February. We have beautiful blue skies today and there is lovely sunlight streaming in through the windows. Unfortunately, having south-facing windows, often when this is the case, this time of year, I have to close the blinds just so that I'm not blinded by the light. But it is really wonderful to know that there is some gorgeous sunshine outside. You might be able to hear it in my voice, but I am a little bit under the weather today. I've had a cold kind of brewing, that kind of awkward kind of cold where you're not sick enough to go to bed and just rest it out, and you're also not well enough to feel good and do all the things you want to do in the day. So you're kind of living in the gray zone, which I guess is a lot like experiencing a chronic illness. So I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know what that feels like. And I've been feeling that for the past few days. So not really firing on all cylinders today. But I'm very delighted to bring this episode to you because what we're going to be talking about today is something that I have been having conversations with many of my clients about recently, because it's something that I am witnessing in many of the people that I'm fortunate and blessed enough to work with, and something that's actively being spoken about in our conversations. And I've created the title of this episode as the thing that you must master in your fatigue recovery journey. And I'll spill the beans straight away and just share with you that this is the concept of stability. We need to build stability in the physiology of the body. We need to build stability in the nervous system of the body. And we need to build stability in life as a whole, with our routines, with our relationships, with our jobs, if we're working, with whatever else we have going on in our lives. We need stability. And conceptually, stability, I believe, is the starting point or the foundation of fatigue recovery. Nothing else can really be achieved until we get a sense of stability. And when I reflect back on my own journey, now, as it gets further and further away from the time when I was at my worst, I don't really have necessarily a conscious memory of all the different things that happened, but there's definitely a memory and a felt sense in my body, or there's a memory of the felt sense in my body, shall I say, of how it felt to be in those moments. And when I first became unwell, I guess it was so chaotic. Just coming to terms, or not necessarily coming to terms, with what was happening, still experiencing the grief and devastation about what was happening, and not necessarily having the emotional resources to process, not necessarily having the support in my life from the people around me to help me. There was so much that was just so completely devastating. And amongst all of that, just trying to hang on to the little pieces of my life so that I had something to hang on to. And so desperately wanting to be well and not really knowing what was going on, although probably having a better understanding than many people do. And yeah, it was very, very unstable, mostly because I didn't give myself the space to slow down and process a lot of what was going on in my body at the time from a nervous system perspective. And it was almost like clutching at straws out of desperation to feel a little bit better and find some answers. You know, hindsight is 20/20, and I think having a lived experience of moving through a chronic illness has taught me so much, and then continuing to work with clients every day, or almost every day, in this space has also taught me more and more as time has gone on. And, you know, if there was one thing that I could have, you know, this self, Anna, recording this podcast, if I could go back to Anna from, I guess, 5 years ago now, if there was one thing I could tell her, you know, I think it would be, you know, give yourself stability. And a huge part of that is just giving yourself the space in the first place to stabilize, which is very often what the nervous system needs. But it's just coming back to this idea of like, what does your body need so that it can stabilize itself? And when we look at chronic illness, specifically chronic illness in the context of these syndromal patterns, like chronic fatigue syndrome, for example, but not doesn't necessarily have to be a condition with the word syndrome in the title. But when we look at these syndromal conditions, there's a pattern of unstable physiology in the nervous system. And this is really where the body has experienced a destabilizing over time due to the accumulation of stress that has not been able to become processed, become settled, be integrated into the system, or discharged. And that stress could have started for some people from childhood experiences. The more I've worked on myself over the years, the more I've realized that even though I wouldn't have necessarily said that I had a particularly traumatic childhood, even just as something as simple as, you know, having some surgical procedures as a child, multiple surgical procedures as a child, and then parents who went through a divorce, was enough to really create a lasting imprint on my nervous system, because at the time there wasn't enough support available. Somebody could move through those similar experiences to what I had and have had even less support, or they could have had even more support, and therefore the impact on the system might be different. So just because you don't have a particularly traumatic childhood doesn't mean there can't be experiences that we still carry through from childhood. But there can also be stressful events that happen in adult life. And that could be anything from, you know, loss of a loved one, financial worries, legal problems, career changes, even transitions like becoming a new mum, for example, or moving countries. I know I had a big transition from South Africa to the UK, and I underestimated the impact of that on my nervous system. And then also kind of just this low level chronic stress that might eat away at you over time. And there are multiple different ways in which we can experience that. So as the body is sort of reorganizing itself in a disorganized way to cope with this accumulated load of stress on the body, the physiology of the body is becoming more and more unstable. And then because this is not only a nervous system issue, but then there might also be additional destabilizing, because now suddenly you're going through perimenopause and your hormones are going up and down. Or perhaps there are blood sugar imbalances, and that's further creating instability. Or maybe you have an autoimmune condition and there's immune dysregulation and that's not being supported, and that's further destabilizing the body. Or maybe there are some infections like mold or parasites, or there's other digestive issues like SIBO. Now we've got nutrient deficiencies. We've also got inflammation coming in the gut, and that's further destabilizing the body. And then, you know, more recently, I've had a few clients where we think that there's maybe been a little bit of a vaccine injury. So all of these things have been brewing, and then they have a vaccine, and then they just never felt the same since. Not because it was only the vaccine that caused the issue, but it was the final straw that broke the camel's back. And sometimes for people, there isn't a final straw. It's just like gradual degradation that happens over time. And because as human beings, we're actually so great at surviving that we continue to survive and we continue to survive and we create all these coping mechanisms. But at the same time, the system as a whole is becoming increasingly disorganized. And when we eventually reach this point of no return with our health, then what we're really trying to do is we're trying to create a sense of organization, a sense of coherence, and a sense of stability in a system that has been playing out probably unstable patterns for years, decades, even possibly for some, even a lifetime. So the first thing to say is this is not quick work. And if you're anything like myself, in my journey, I wanted it to be quick. I was so uncomfortable with what was happening to me on so many different levels that I wanted it to stop and go away and to just take my inner achiever who had served me so well throughout my lifetime, wave a magic wand, do everything perfectly, and fix it all. And that was not my journey at all. And my journey was very up and down. There were moments of hopelessness. There were small wins followed by regression, and I really took time to learn everything that I needed to learn to get myself out of the place that I was in. But I digress a little bit. What we're really looking to achieve as we start this healing journey, or maybe you've been on this healing journey for a long time and you feel like you're stuck or you're just not getting traction, what we're often looking for is a sense of stability. And we can find that stability, as I've already said, through the nervous system, but not only the nervous system. The amount of nervous system work that is required will vary from person to person, but many people will also need to work on the physiological stability of the system, which I'll talk about in a moment, and then also the stability of life itself, of the routines that we have, of our sleep-wake cycles, of our sunlight exposure. We need stability in how we live our lives. And very often when I meet clients who feel stuck, who are crashing a lot, who are not progressing, they haven't mastered these three areas. We need to master the nervous system stability. We need to master the physiological stability. And we need to master the stability of life itself. So let's break this down and let's look at each of these areas individually. Let's start with the nervous system. Everybody loves the nervous system. It's such a popular topic these days, but also I think where there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of confusion as well. So when we're looking at this from a nervous system perspective, I've named this concept, which is the syndromal pattern. And this is something we go into more detail into in my Nurturing Resilience group program. The time that this podcast releases, the program may have already started, but you're welcome to join the next one, which will probably be September. But basically, when we're looking at these syndromal patterns, we're looking at the patterns of the nervous system, which are unstable. Now, and I had a client ask me once, it's like, what's happening in my nervous system? And I see this in the Nurturing Resilience program as well. There's like this need to diagnose, like, am I in fight? Is this flight? Am I experiencing a freeze? And the reality is, it's probably a combination of all of these things. It's not that it's always one or always the other, but when the nervous system is disorganized and unstable, there's like a flitting between all these different states. And yes, certain people may have predominant states in which they choose to hang out, so to speak. Some people may have more dissociative patterns. Some people may get stuck more in anxiety, which is more of like a sympathetic nervous system activation. So there can be lots of different things happening, and there can be a lot of chaotic movement between different nervous system patterns. But what we see is there's like a lack of flow, a lack of rhythm, and a lack of connection. You know, a healthy nervous system is not calm all the time. A healthy nervous system moves between different states, like there may be a rise in nervous system activation to respond to something appropriately. Then we respond and there's a nice settling, and then the next thing happens and there's a rise and a fall in levels of activation throughout the day. That's normal. But there's almost like a flow to it. There's an activation, there's a settling, there's a sense of connection in the body. This is very often what we see is not happening when it comes to the syndromal patterns. The body is almost so organized in its disorganization that everything is so like tightly wound, but also disconnected, and I would say an incoherent. And it's this which limits the capacity of the system. Because any small change in any direction, whether it's a healthy stressor, like a little bit of movement, or an unhealthy, like something very stressful that's happening in someone's life, or just a dietary change or a new supplement, the system, it doesn't know any other way to be apart from in this tightly bound state of disorganization. And then we come along, we try and change something, even if that changes for the better, and that can feel very threatening. And the body responds in like a negative way. So that is just an example of the syndromal pattern. And what we're really looking to do is we're looking to create very small changes over time and with patience, with gentleness, with softness, with less pressure, so that very, 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 very slowly, that very tightly bound disorganization of the system starts to soften its grip and its hold. And very often symptoms are the last thing to change. If you've had one particular symptom the whole time you've been unwell and this symptom bugs you the most, be prepared for that symptom to take the longest time to change. But it's about what else is changing in your life. Do you have more capacity just to accept the symptoms? Are the symptoms present, but there's a little bit more connection, there's a little bit more ease, there's a little bit more flow in the body? And then gradually over months, dare I say years, things begin to soften and change. And so we're really working on the core pieces. And this is what I teach in my free workshop, which is really worth watching if you haven't watched it. Is we're looking for, first and foremost, how can we stabilize the nervous system as much as possible? And in the Nurturing Resilience Group program, we spend the first 4 weeks just learning stabilizing tools for the nervous system. There's obviously a lot more psychoeducation around it as well. So the first thing is to find some sort of sense of stability in the system, and it's small pieces of work done with a very light touch so that we don't reignite the threat in the system. And then from there, we can start to build a little bit more coherence and connection so the system feels a little bit better resourced. And resourced means that there's more resourcefulness to manage life. And then once we have stability and we feel a little bit more resourceful, then we can start to move towards building capacity in the system. And that's basically to be able to do more and achieve more. And this is all covered in the Nurturing Resilience program, although I do touch on it very lightly in the workshop. What I'm really trying to hit home here is that the most important message, if this is a podcast on stability, is that we need to stabilize the system first. And we can't do that with big, intimidating pieces of work. I know in my own journey, I did brain retraining, and the guidance was to do this for an hour a day. And I did it. And it was okay for me. My system had the capacity to do it for an hour a day. But I meet a lot of people who struggle even to get into their bodies. So if you're somebody who can't even be in your body for that long, or you have a poor tolerance for sensations in the body, that is a sign of an unstable system. Not as a criticism, but just as an invitation to think, right, before I even worry about this brain retraining stuff, before I even worry about trying to be in my body too much, let me first learn how to stabilize. And that is the first step of the nervous system work. So we're really trying to stabilize the system over time, increase the coherence, the connection, and then eventually build the capacity in the system. But it takes time. And in the beginning, the changes may be small. They may not be enough so that you feel that they've made a huge impact on your life. But when I started doing this work, what I did was I had no expectation. I didn't expect anything to fix me. I just showed up. And I did the work, and I kept showing up, and I kept doing the work. And then like 6 months later, 12 months later, 18 months later, I was like, oh, yes, there's definitely a difference now. But it wasn't always noticeable on a weekly or monthly basis. Sometimes bigger chunks of time were required before I could really feel the difference in my life. And I think it's really important to say that. With a lot of people out there selling nervous system programs now, and I sell a nervous system program as well, but I'm very conscious about how I market it. And obviously, quick, cheap, and easy sells. And, you know, this work is not quick and it's not easy. Cheap is relative, I guess, but it's not quick work. It can actually be quite simple, but in some cases difficult to do. And yes, there are also people who get really good results in short spaces of time doing nervous system work. But for a lot of what I'm seeing with the people who come and work with me is it can be more complex. And that could also possibly be just because of the nature of people I attract to more complex cases. That's why they're working with me, because they haven't been able to work it out for themselves. So that is the first piece. We want to find some stability in the nervous system. The next piece is physiological stability. And the biggest thing that I find is supportive for clients when it comes to physiological stability, apart from sleep, which I'll touch on in a moment, is blood sugar. So when blood sugar is going up and down each day, that is having an impact on your nervous system. If blood sugar is going too high or too low, that's going to be a physiological stressor on the body. So people are all for nervous system work when it comes to chronic illness, but I don't see as many people shouting from the rooftops about blood sugar regulation. And blood sugar regulation is something that I would say 90% of the people who come through my door to work with myself or Francesca need to work on. And very often we're spending even 3 months working on this, at least 3 months working on this, to really get someone to where they need to be. In some cases, it's quite simple. In other cases, it can be more complex. But we must address physiological stability. And a huge part of that is blood sugar balance. And I'll say this because it's a pattern that I see in my clients, but sometimes people do a little bit of blood sugar monitoring. They think that, oh, this is okay enough. And then they stop. And then because they're not checking in on themselves, they go back to eating how they were before. And with chronic illness, you know, I hate to say to people they need to be perfect, but there are just some things that you need to be almost perfect with, like 90, 95% compliance with keeping blood sugar in the healthy range is what we're really aiming for with our clients, and that's what gets results. So blood sugar stability is a huge part of this. And the other thing is going to be sleep. And the reason why I mentioned blood sugar before sleep is because poor blood sugar regulation really impacts sleep. And a lot of people with chronic illness struggle to sleep. And sleep is an issue. It can be quite complex in some people to get them sleeping well for various reasons, reasons that probably go beyond the scope of this podcast. But if we're working on the nervous system and we're working on blood sugar, we're really doing a lot of good things to support sleep. And some of my clients, just getting them to sleep better has made such a difference in the progress of their case. And so I think that when we're coming back to this idea of stability, stabilizing the nervous system, stabilizing the physiology through blood sugar regulation, and then stabilizing sleep, which includes stabilizing the sleep routines, are absolutely foundational in terms of creating a change. And so then that leads me kind of into the next piece, which is this idea of stabilizing life. So by stabilizing life, what we're talking about here is circadian rhythms, making sure that you wake at the time each day, you go to bed at the same time each day. Ideally, you're getting morning light on your eyes, not with glasses, not through a window. And if you can, some evening light on your eyes before sunset as well, dim lights in the evening. So there's a lot of work around the circadian rhythm. And that's another thing that can feed into sleep quality. you know, having that good sleep hygiene where you're unwinding, you're not exposing yourself to too many screens and bright light in the evening. But then in addition to this, there's also the pace of life, which we could refer to as pacing. So pacing is appropriate for you. Now, I work with many different clients, and you know, some of my clients are, you know, only have the capacity to do something for 30 minutes. Or if they get up and they shower and they wash their hair and they get dressed and brush their teeth, then they need to go and rest afterwards. They get up and they make something to eat, then they need to go and rest afterwards. So the pacing is going to be very individual for the person, but we must pace. And very often when I'm seeing people who are not making progress under my care, they're still not getting the pacing right. People sometimes think, and I've said this many times on the podcast before, is because there's like this complex illness that they maybe have, they think that they have complex needs. And there can almost be a, no, that pacing thing, that's too simple to be appropriate for me because I've got X, Y, and Z going on in my body. But the pacing really, really matters. And that's kind of what I just want to hit home on this podcast today, is if you're looking for stability, stabilizing life and stabilizing the pace of your life so that there are appropriate amounts of activity and appropriate amounts of rest for you and where you are in your journey each day, that's going to be really, really important. So if we look at this little stability package now, it's not actually overly complicated. Maybe knowing exactly what to do for your body is the complicated part, but the big picture is pretty simple. It's stabilize your nervous system. And, you know, that could be joining a program like my Nurturing Resilience program or just watching the free workshop. That's an option as well. Working on blood sugar, working on sleep, working on circadian rhythms, and then working on your pacing. That's five things. And if you were to write those five things down on a piece of paper, you can do it now. You can write nervous system stability. You can write blood sugar stability. You can write sleep. You can write routine and pacing, and you can write circadian rhythms. And if 10 out of 10 means you really have mastered that area, and then 1 out of 10 means it's like completely unstabilized, where are you on that for each of those? So you can rate your nervous system stability on a scale of 1 to 10. You can rate your blood sugar stability on a scale of 1 to 10. Sleep on a scale of 1 to 10. Routines and pacing on a scale of 1 to 10. And circadian rhythm on a scale of 1 to 10. And then just from doing that little exercise here with me now, listening to this podcast, you can maybe already see some clues on where you can put your time, your energy, and your attention. This is where the nuance of chronic illness comes in, because there may be times in your life where you need to work on other things. But for the most part, people often say, I'm so lost. I don't know what to do. I'm not making progress. I feel so hopeless. But can you do any of these things better? Because I know that I could probably even be doing some of these things better, even where I am today, so much more well, so much more healthy, so much more alive than what I once was. What I'd like to touch on just to finish off is this idea of nuance, because I know it's nice when everything is simple and clean cut and there's no maybes or ifs or whatevers, but there are some times where we have to prioritize other things besides just the stability. And that could be, for example, if there's an active infection in the body, we may need to deal with that active infection. Sometimes if the body is very, very unstable, dealing with the active infection can be really tricky. So we need to kind of do both to the best of our abilities. But if there's an active infection, that needs to be addressed as a clinical priority. Another priority would be something like anemia. So certain nutrient deficiencies. If there's nutrient deficiencies which are manifesting, you know, in oxygenation issues like anemia, we need to address that. If you're living in a moldy home, maybe you need to get out of the moldy home. So there are other things that sometimes come in and also need to be addressed alongside the stability. But for long-lasting, successful change, stability is the first step. And you may have been on your journey just a short time. You may just be starting out. You may have been on your journey a long time. But I hope that at least something that I've said today has given you a little bit more insight in how you could be supporting yourself in your journey. And if you want more help and you want more support in a professional capacity, if it's nervous system support, I'd highly recommend our Nurturing Resilience program. If it's more physiological support, then you could consider working with us in our 6-month fatigue recovery package, either with myself or Francesca, depending on who is available at the time and your budget. There are also some small short courses on my website that you can buy if you have a smaller budget. At the time of recording this podcast, I'm updating our blood sugar mini course. So once I've recorded this podcast, I'm going to be recording all the trainings for the blood sugar mini course. It's definitely a day of doing lots of talking. So you could also check that out on the website if you've identified that blood sugar is where you could use a little bit more help and support. So that is all from me today. Thank you so much for listening. I always say this, but just thank you so much to everybody who has left a review or sent me a message to say that this podcast has been helpful for them. If you haven't left a review, make sure you do either on Spotify or iTunes. Share this episode if it was helpful to you with your chronic illness community or someone specifically you think may benefit from hearing the messages discussed here. I will see you in the next episode. Have a wonderful fatigue recovery day.